And it is now time for expanding awareness in which I often conduct live interviews, either regarding some aspect of the paranormal and my future holistic health, and we cover environmental topics and animal rights from time to time. And with us live in studio is Catherine debutante, and she is a clarity worker and a writing coach and a writer, and she has facilitated clear direction and clear expressions and lives in writing in the Boston area and beyond for more than 16 years, and she's a distinguished alumna of Wesleyan College and a member of Phi Beta Kappa.
So, she has a big brain. And she is the founder of clearwork.com, claritywork.com, and her techniques are rooted in Natalie Goldberg's writing method, and we're going to discuss that a little bit. And she combines her interest in training in psychology, Zen Buddhism, metaphysics, emotional kinesthetic psychotherapy, and vocal and visual improvisation. And her poetry and articles have appeared in various publications. And her book, Clarity Now, Simple Steps to Your Perfectly Clear Answer, is forthcoming. And we're going to discuss all of that. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning, Victor.
And sorry for tripping over that whole intro.
It's okay.
Okay. So let us begin with what does it mean to be a clarity worker? What does that comprise of, and if it came to you for a session, what would I expect?
Well, clarity worker, clarity work, I'll answer what clarity work is. A lot of people don't know that it even exists as an alternative to traditional life coaching or psychotherapy even. Mm-hmm. And it's, in the very simplest terms, it's a process for getting clarity. It's a way to get clear. And clear about what? Clear about anything that you would be stuck with. So if you're confused or stuck, that is to say not clear, you would come to me to get clear. And it's not that I have answers for anybody. As a clarity worker, I am a clear space for people to come to and bring their static, let's say, bring their confusion and run it through my clear system, if you will. And that's the experience that I have when I'm doing a session, is that it's like this, the person sitting there has, as I say, static or veils over their own answers, and I don't have those veils. I can hear what they're saying and observe, and I'm listening at many levels, not just with my ears. There's a lot of intuition involved, guidance, if you will. Some have asked me why I don't call this clairvoyance or call myself clairvoyant.
That was my next
channel.
That was my thought.
I could see it in your eyes. So there it is. And I don't. I mean, I'm not a big namer. I'm a writer, yes, but when it comes to all this, I know what I do, and I do it, and I don't necessarily have to put labels on it. But there is a process of listening at many levels, and so I get what's there that you could get for yourself if there weren't the static present.
All right. Now, I myself do readings. I do psychic readings, tarot readings. And the biggest question I often get is, I am stuck. I'm stuck in my life. So how do you interpret the process of getting unstuck? How does that begin?
Well, the whole premise of clarity work is that you already know. So the joy that I have in this process is, you know, here's this person sitting before me saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, is its own topic, because if people listening could take one thing away from today, I would want them to take away, stop saying I don't know, because it's really the kind of fundamental lie that we do know. The answers are there. And so if you stop saying, I don't know, first of all, that's one thing you could do right off the top. Then you can begin to listen, and it's all about listening. I could say plenty about that, but we only have an hour. Then it becomes a process of listening. Well, if I do know, then let me take a look. And that's what my job is. So if someone comes in for a clarity session, and we start with, what do you want to leave with? And it sometimes takes, out of a 3 or 4 hour session, it can take a good half hour to just nail down what the person wants, which is interesting in its own right and relates to what you were just saying. Someone comes for a session, I'm stuck, and I ask, what do you want? You know, you can leave with anything you want today. What is it that you want? And it can take a half an hour to pin that down. But I know it when I hear it, and they do too, because there it is. You know, that would excite me, to leave with that. And it's some sort of clarity. It's some sort of why do I keep getting into these relationships that don't work for me? Or, you know, what do I do about this this job of mine? Should I leave it or should I not leave it? Or, oh, there have been all sorts of things. Do I take this MRI? Do I go in for another MRI to see if I'm cancer-free? I mean, any question, it really boils down to a question. And, again, back to what I began with, we know. You know, the fundamental truth here and why clarity work works is that I know the person already knows. So I am a sort of sifter. I ask the, you know, quote-unquote right questions. In fact, I know you're a fan, well, your show is anyway, a fan of Alan Watts. I have a quote here that says, problems that remain persistently insolvable, I don't like the word problems, but anyway, should always be suspected as questions asked in the wrong way. So there I sit, asking the right questions.
Questions asked in the wrong way.
So you might keep asking, why can't I lose weight? You know, why can't I keep trying to lose weight, and I can't keep to my discipline. I say I'm going to exercise, and then I don't. Mm-hmm. And it ends up not being about that at all.
Mm-hmm. And what would be an example of what else is it?
There have been a couple of sessions recently on this topic, actually, and thinking, what was it specifically in this one? Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Or if it's not about my not being able to lose weight, what's behind
in
that?
In this one client's case, it was that there was a moment walking down the street when she was about, if I'm remembering right, I'm kind of not there as an ego entity when I'm doing this work, so it's I have to really dig to try to connect to these. But as near as I can recall, it was about, I don't know, 7, 8, or 9 years old. She's walking down the street, and her mother points to this woman in front of them who, as my client described, was 200 pounds or something, very heavy and jiggly. And the mother pointed and said, that's what you look like. And this young woman, 9, 7, 8 years old, was perfectly trim, you know, wasn't heavy at all. But the mother was trying to do a little reverse psychology to get her to keep trim, let's say. From that moment on, and this is what we turned up in the session, that woman said, I can't trust my perceptions. I have to pay attention to what others say. Because she went home, she took her clothes off and looked in the mirror and said, I don't see it. She didn't say, my mother's crazy. Mm-hmm. She's not seeing me for who I am. She said, I don't see it. So from that moment on, it's like she planted a little seed in herself that said, I guess I'm not what I see in the mirror, so I might as well forget about trusting my judgments, and I'm going to have to get all my information and self image and etc. from outside of myself. And you can imagine the fallout from that 40 some odd years later. And that was freedom, you know, for her to turn that, to find that in a blind spot in herself, and to you know, she had suddenly had choice and power over something that she had no idea was even there. So instead of trying to keep to a diet or keep to her exercise program, all of that disappears. It's just, in her case and in many cases, discovering the lie that was invented, you know, the invention that was created. And, you know, metaphysics or law of attraction or however you want to say it is going to, as soon as you say, this is me, in her case, I can't trust my perceptions, then this shall be. You know, then she starts attracting proof of that, and that's been sworn out by her life since. And that's the freedom she got out of our working together in those few hours is, I made that up. I made it up. Mm-hmm. And once she embodies, I made it up, you know, gets that in her body in that moment, it's over. Don't have to make it up anymore.
All right. Another area where many people are stuck with is finances. All right. Mm-hmm. It's getting harder and harder to live as far as, you know, rent's going up, and the Boston area in particular, I understand, is a difficult place to earn, you know, to make your way. What do you say around that as far as, like, prosperity consciousness? And are there not external factors that kind of do us in?
Do us in. Oh, I see. Well, I don't pay any attention to the trends, let's say, or the current conversations about what's happening in the economy or... so many stories I could tell about this, but personally, I'll just speak for myself. My whole life stands, at least for the past 20 years or so, stands in testament to it is whatever I say it is. And I could give you a specific example, which is the house where I live, which in 1994. I was looking for a place to buy. It was the bottom of the market. I mean, literally, rock bottom of the market. And what I could afford was basically, if I was lucky, a condominium, you know, nice condominium at the time. Anyway, I wanted a house, and I found this house, and it's a 7-room colonial antique home. And this, according to the conversation out there, there's no way that I could have afforded that house. That house wouldn't have existed, let's say. But given that I've said what I wanted and believed that it was possible, there was this house, and I called it my condo alternative because it was something that you could say shouldn't be. It shouldn't have been available. There it was, and I don't know. I could go on, but more specific to your question. As you were speaking, even before you said the word consciousness, I was thinking the answer to the question about finances or money. All I have one phrase to say about that is, and it's by right of consciousness, you know, whatever you say, whatever you really believe about that is just, it's what's going to be in your, you know, in your experience, what will turn out to be your experience. And, well, I'm going to stop there because I don't know if I'm...
All right, so how do you change your belief, okay? Let's say, again, you're stuck, okay? Mm-hmm. You have money problems, the rent keeps going up, the water bills keep going up, whatever it is. I don't know if I even have a question here, but...
Well, I do have an answer.
All right, good. You have a question to my non-question. You have an answer to my non-question.
Yeah, I again, back to my own experience, I had my own revelation. You could say I did clarity work with myself in this area. And I discovered that, and this is partly through interviews with my parents and a lot of digging. I mean, clarity work is a process of digging.
You interviewed your parents?
I didn't interview them. Well, yeah, I did, actually. But only as, you know, what were your messages about money, and what does money mean to you? And to find out, you know.
Save your money, don't go to the show.
Well, the message basically was just enough. We had just enough. We didn't want for anything. And long story short, since we don't have all day, I found that this little seed that I planted for myself around money was just enough. And not just money, it was everything. It was all across my life. Just enough love, just enough friendship, just enough success, just enough recognition, just enough money. And as soon as I discovered that that was my belief, you know, the belief that I had implanted in myself or adopted from the messages of my parents and so on, and their parents, because we went back another generation, it was I had freedom for plenty. I had freedom to manifest plenty, and that changed everything, in finances and otherwise, since that, since getting clear about that.
All right. Now, how do you work with a pessimistic nature? Okay. Again, persons who are stuck. All right. Or worse than stuck, let's call it a life sucks mode. And how do you instill in a person an alternate belief? I mean, where does that come from, and how do you know a person isn't just lying to themselves?
Well, you can't fake it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's the bottom line. And first off, on my brochure, on my website and such, I say, are you ready? A person really has to want this. And typically my clients are people who are at the end of their rope. They're at their wit's end. They've tried everything. I've been in 20 years of therapy, and I haven't gotten to the bottom of this. And there's not a desperation, but a real readiness. Like, I have had it up to here. I cannot live this way another day. And that's a great place to be. It's such a great place to be, because it creates such a willingness to look and to find whatever's there and to get freedom from it. For me, this is all about freedom. As far as life sucks mode, where did it come from? You know, I mean, that would be the first place I would, I mean, first off, the person would have to want freedom from it, really want it. As I've said, that's rule number one or bottom line. But beyond that, if that were present, then where I would go is, well, what started this? You know, when was it? Talk to me about a time when this wasn't so, and what happened? And, you know, you can start to feel there's the digging process that begins. And I think of this process as akin to, for the gardeners out there, the difference between cutting a dandelion off at ground level and digging it up by the root. You know, once you get it, the root, and see the whole thing, and you can actually dig it out of the ground, then it doesn't grow back. And that's what this digging process is about. It's really getting the whole contour of something and then getting free of it.
Okay, I would remind you that you're listening to Expanding Awareness. This is Victor Robert Evanskis. And with us live in studio is Catherine Deputat, and she is a clarity worker. And I want to open up the phone lines here now at 617-552-4686, 617-552-4686, and we're going to discuss how to get clear in your life after being in a stuck mode, or maybe even in a life sucks mode.
There's another part to that answer, Victor, which is what is your joy? You know, if let's say you were the person coming saying, I can't, you know, this life stinks. I never have to dig too long or far to find a person's passion in life, or what that person's given up on, or, you know, what really lights the person up. And anyone who's in a place of life stinks is someone who has fallen off the path, you know, has fallen away from their own joy or their own purpose, if you will, in life. And so there's a reunion that's possible, a reunion of that person with his self or herself, that is, it's profound, it's extraordinary to facilitate and to witness.
All right. What about a metaphysical reason for it all, okay? Let's call it karma. It might even be one's karma to be in this stuck mode. Do you relate to concepts such as that?
Yeah, I do. I do, and I don't know. I'm not remembering the words for it, but I know there's such a thing as paying karmic debt. You know, we can be paying off those debts at any turn. So that one has a karmic debt doesn't sentence you to a lifetime of struggle, let's say. And yet one can take that and pay that price, thinking, oh, I have to pay this price because I did X, Y, or Z in a past life. In fact, there's only one client who in the 8 years that I've been practicing clarity work, who I think of when you ask this question, because in her case, her situation in this life began in a past life, and she got that, in this case, she got it from a prior session with a past life practitioner, and she, it was clear to me that she was sitting here in the session asking for freedom from it at the same time that she was sure that she was sentenced to experience that throughout this lifetime. So, you know, if you choose, you know, this, if it's available to complete it at any moment. It may be this lifetime, maybe three lifetimes from now that she completes that. But in my experience of what happened in my session with her, she was choosing to hold on to it because she thought, you know, well, this is what I get in this lifetime.
And how do you absolutely know when you have achieved that state of clarity? Is there like an aha response or...
Yeah, you're saying a client in a session getting clear. Yeah, that happens. Oftentimes, it happens at the end of a session, and I've many times had, and literally, I'm being very literal when I say this. I've had the experience of watching a different person walk out the door, watching that person walk out into a new life, closing the door and saying, "I can die now." I just facilitated this, you know. It's such an incredible privilege, and knowing, you know, that person has turned a corner and is no longer going in the direction he or she was going in, and that's not uncommon for that to happen at the end of our 3 or 4 hours together, in this one long session, but typically, or it's also not unusual for, we have a follow-up session that's all part of the process about a month after, because I tape the sessions, and that's part of the homework is to work with the tapes, you know, listen to the tapes. And by the way, that's part of the answer to your question too. Clarity is, you know, it's one thing to get clear, it's another thing to stay clear. So the tapes become a means of really casting it in stone, if you will, because the person could otherwise wake up the next day and say, well, what happened? You know, what was that? And sort of let it slip away. Well, it doesn't, in as long as the person is, you know, does the homework, let's say. So there are things that come out of the openings or the clarity that comes out of the session that then have to be acted on. And to continue what I started to say earlier, then it's not uncommon for a month later for me to have that follow-up session. And literally, again, I do these by phone, and I work long distance, too. I don't have to see the person. So this, I'm thinking of a woman in New York in particular. I think she's living in Australia now, who I didn't recognize her on the phone. I mean, this, I could feel her. That's part of my intuition and how I can work on the phone, is that I physically, you know, had the experience of this person is completely clear, you know, and her voice had changed, and, you know, she was very apparent. And of course, what she says about it, you know, what she was speaking was reflecting that as well. Some of these testimonials are on my website if people are interested in reading them.
And what is the website?
It's www.clarityworkwithnos, clarityworkcom.
Okay. And again, the number here is 617-552-4686, 617-552-4686. And my guest for Expanding Awareness is Catherine Deputat, and she is a clarity worker. Maybe you have a condition or situation that you might want some clarity on. You might give a call at 617-552-4686. And if you feel you're stuck in a situation or dealing with difficult relationships or just having a pattern that you haven't been able to break out of, Catherine is willing to give you some insight into what the situation might be on a intuitive level. And we're going to take this first phone call here. And I also want to remind folks that we have six lines, so keep it ringing, and I'll push that button when it's your turn. Good morning. You're on the air with Catherine.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
The question that I have has to do... Wait a minute. Let me turn my radio down.
Oh, sure. Again, 617-552-4686. Keep it ringing, and we'll push that button when it's your turn.
Okay.
All righty.
The question that I have has to do with what you were talking about just a little while ago, Catherine, around growing up with the that perspective of just enough in terms of abundance in
mm-hmm.
your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you said that you were able to shift to a perspective of plenty.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if you could speak a little bit more to that particular shift. What does that look like, and what are the kinds of... messages that you give to yourself, and in addition to that, I just heard someone else saying the other day about that oftentimes when we're looking for abundance or prosperity in our lives, that we often think of, you know, like you did, of the house, you know, the perfect house, or the you know, that $1 million check coming in the mail, you know, that kind of thing, and that that truly what is important is to put out the message to the universe that that I should be a blessing upon the world, a blessing upon the earth, and that by putting out that kind of a message, that you then attract more blessings to you, because, you know, we're all part of that cosmic connection. So I'm thinking of both of those things at the same time, is how do you both manifest that intention of plenty? How do you do that? How does that look like? And also manifest that intention of I guess that gratefulness and that giving back to the world. So if you could just talk a little bit more about that, I would really appreciate it. And if you want, I'll take my answer off the air.
You might want to stay just in case. If you can stay on the phone.
Okay.
So wonderful. Just great. So much to say. The main thing is, part of what I heard and what you were in your speaking and in most people's speaking about this topic is a separation. I need to communicate to the universe. I need to manifest something out there. And so first off, if I could name one thing, I mean, there's so much that I could say about what happened in my experience, but ultimately I stopped separating myself from this. I am that, basically. The phrase, the bottom line is, I am that. So if I am not the abundance of the universe, if I am not a reflection of that in all ways, in love and in, you know, abundance in all ways, then I have put something in the way of that. Simply, clearly, that's it. You know, there's either space there, and I am not separating myself from all there is and all the abundance that is available to all that is. You know, it's not even available, it just is. Or I am filling that space with separation from it. You know, I don't have it, so I have to get it. I am filling that space with beliefs that were implanted, as I was talking about earlier, from childhood, let's say, or from, you know, subtle messages from parents or family, or from the culture, or the economy, or the Dow Jones Industrial Average, or, you know, what have you. So I'm going to stop there, and if you're still with us, ask more if you still have a question.
I'm hearing that. I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm getting the whole thing about the I am that, the notion that I need to believe, or any of us, that I need to believe that I am abundance, that I am prosperity, and that I am blessing upon the earth. That it's about holding all of those belief systems at once.
And yes, but it's not even believe. And this will be key for a lot of people, I'm sure. It's remember.
Mm.
It's to remember I am that, not to believe I am that. This is what I mean about making space. It's
not about creating a new belief system.
Right.
Waking up from some kind of dream.
Right. So rather than pasting on top of, and that's why when I was talking about the woman with the, or this has been more than one client with weight, you know, it's not about, I have to be disciplined, I have to keep to my exercise schedule, I have to stop eating, you know, this, that, or the other. And instead, remember, I am not all those things I've been saying I am. I am not. And then I'll stop there.
Mm-hmm.
I could go on. Is that clear?
Yes, it's very clear. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay,
thanks so much for your call. And the number here is 617-552-4686, 617-552-4686. And we have another caller. Good morning. You're on the air with Catherine.
Thank you. What I'd like to ask Catherine is, would you tell me how different this is from psychotherapy, where supposedly you gain at some point or not insights, and the point is to act on those insights? I, for example, have had psychotherapy enough to paint and paper every building in Boston, and it has really been useless, much of it. Give you a brief personal. I have extremely isolating experience from siblings. I was the one in the family who did try to reach out and took care of a mother that nobody wanted to. They went put her in a nursing home. I took her to live with me when I couldn't afford it, and blah, blah, blah. Asked for help, and they wouldn't do it, and they remained distant from me. Is this somebody usually in a family, a sibling, who is focused on as being the vulnerable one, and people have this kind of thing inside of them that they'll zero in on that person? Or am I looking at it in the wrong way, and I've decided sort of recently I wouldn't think that way, I would make myself feel differently? That takes practice, I know. It would be very different for me because I'm also a writer.
Well, again, it's coming for you. Do you want to come from it from the outside in, or do you want to come from it from the inside out? And so you've asked a couple of questions, so let me just address the insight question. Insight, I said this to a client 2 days ago, don't leave this at the level of insight. It's not, insights only go so far.
Exactly.
You know, I know that, but now what do I do with it?
Right.
So when I say, so clarity work isn't about insight. It's about transformation, really.
Yeah. But isn't that's what psychotherapy and most psychiatric supposed help is about changing.
I get that. I do make a distinction personally between change and transformation. Change is a gradual process of, you know, kind of chipping away at something. Transformation happens in a moment.
An aha moment.
Yeah, and your life is not the same. You know, that's
all of a sudden, everything changes.
Yeah, and that's what I meant about the right turn, the person walking out the door into a new life. It's literally a new life. You know,
something like it happens in the movies.
Right. So, so as far as your own story, your personal story that you started to share, the phrase that came to me as I was listening to you was, I am who I say I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you were to say to yourself, I am who I say I am.
Who I say I am.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. if we were to meet and, you know, start digging through this together, what we would find is all of the places where you, and it's you, it's not anyone outside of you, which is the best news going, you know, because that gives you complete power to uncreate, that you created this story, if you will, of who you are now, and that's created who you are now. On the back of my business card, I quote Maitreya, the master, Maitreya, the only way to deal with any, again, the word problem, I'm not a fan of, but the only way to deal with any problem in life is to understand how it came into being.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you know its process, you can reverse it.
So this means digging back into the past and finding there may be umpteen ways that you have been negated by others. So do you find one that symbolizes all of it, or you have to dig around for many, put them in a pile and say, goodbye, you're gone, and I am who I am, la-di-da. I will never be hungry again.
Couple of answers to that question. There's two answers. One is, oftentimes, it depends on the situation is the answer, really.
Depends on the situation.
Yeah, so,
always.
So there are two situations that are likely. One is that there may be one strong belief that is underneath many of the things that you are experiencing,
mm-hmm.
and that uprooting that one would trickle down, you know, and affect mm-hmm. a lot. Or there could be many. But yeah, but you said something. I let's see if I can find the exact word. But you said something like
one person.
Well, that you all these things that people were saying about you or something, and there was something in your language. If I wrote it down, I would have it, but I don't.
Being the scapegoat.
Well, no, that you let it in.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you attached it to you.
But when you're a kid, what do? You don't know how to make distinctions. You take what other people show you, don't you?
Yes, and so...
You become a sponge. Kids are sponges.
Yes, although, you know, there are... It's so fascinating. I mean, there's a beautiful... There's a perfection to what gets created in each person, really.
Oh.
I mean, all of what I find in every session is... Whatever you invented, it was for self-preservation. It was a very wise thing to do at the time.
You're right.
And it's not a problem. This is part of why I don't like the word problems. It's really not a problem.
I don't like the word problem either.
Right. So you get to this place in your life and you say, I don't like how my life looks right now for X, Y, or Z reasons. So why don't I do something about it now? And then you can go back and see, oh, as a child I created this and I think that was a bad idea. I don't want to do that.
I was part of it.
Yeah.
I was part of it unwittingly. As a child.
At a conscious level, unwittingly, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not too late for an old broad to...
Not at all. Never too late.
That's very nice to hear. Okay, I thank you.
You're so welcome.
One other thing, one small thing. Leslie, you graduated from Leslie?
Oh, Wellesley College.
Oh, Wellesley, I thought he said Leslie. Okay.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Oops, thanks so much. Good morning, you're on the air with Catherine.
Hello, Catherine. Where can people come and see you? Are you doing any public events?
Yes, next Saturday, a week from today, at the Theosophical Society, I'm leading a workshop called Clearing the Way. This one's focusing on love and money, or, you know, prosperity in all ways. And it's going to be, it's going to take place from 10 to 1. And so you can either find information about that on my website. My phone number is there. You could call me or email me, Catherine@claritywork.com.
And you could dial up tsboston.org.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it sounds like, is there a philosophy that you subscribe to?
Is there a philosophy?
Yeah, I mean, because some of the things you're saying sound like the Course in Miracles, that kind of psychology, or, you know, you quoted Maitreya. Who's Maitreya?
Someone who's considered to be an ascended master, who had never taken human form. Someone out there probably knows a whole lot more about Maitreya than I do. It was basically a quote that came to me, and it just resonated as representative of what I do, and so I adopted it. There's a few things I want to say, and back to your question about where people can find me. I see people in Jamaica Plain. I also have classes in other area centers. All that information is on my website, or feel free to call me. And yeah, anyway. So as far as my philosophy, this is really the answer to your question. Excuse me. Sponge is a good word. I would say I am a sponge in that I'm not... Natalie Goldberg was mentioned earlier when Victor introduced me as being part of my background and my fabric, if you will. And... what happened with me is vis-a-vis Natalie Goldberg's method, in which she writes about in Writing Down the Bones, the book called Writing Down the Bones, is what happened is I became guided by listening versus by thinking. So what brings me to whatever philosophy I have today is that I've been absorbing or listening from all areas, you know, Eastern religion and metaphysics and you know, Zen philosophies and so on, emotional kinesthetic psychotherapy. I mean, anywhere I turn, everything I read, Rumi, and on and on and on. It's and this is something that comes out in my my workshops and classes and sessions too, is to be listening for what resonates with you, and listening for what rings true, and that becomes very important in a session, in a clarity work session as well. What rings true to you? And so there have been times when I've spoken of the process as laser surgery for the soul, and it's for me, it's, you know, listening to what is mine, what is for me. And my answer to your question, my best answer to your question about my own philosophy is that I've been listening to what is mine for me. It's not so much I espouse this tradition or this philosophy or whatever.
Okay, let's take this call. Good morning, you're on the air with Catherine Deputat.
Hey, Victor, it's Devana.
Hey, Devana.
Catherine, I'm having a serious thing with my health, and it's been going on for 10 years. It's like one thing after another. Seems like one thing gets resolved and something else is coming through. And I was outside a few minutes ago, so I don't think I got your website information, because I'm just really tired of getting sick. So there's something else wrong with me now. Now that I got over one hurdle, something else has just started up like 2 weeks ago. So, and I'm very, very tired. In this battle for 10 years, and I'm tired.
Mm. And your question is just the website?
Well, my question is, you know, for you to ask.
Okay.
You know, I'm trying to do all this, the crystal meditations. Mm-hmm. I'm doing all kinds of stuff, mm-hmm. and clearing my space and all of this, and it's just, mm-hmm. I don't know, what is it, a sword of Damocles or what? I don't know what's going on here.
Well, perfect.
But I'm just tired.
Perfect. Well, what stood out most strongly in everything you said was the first time you said, I'm tired of getting sick, which is great. That I believe you, and it's very clear that that's true, and that's a beautiful place to go looking from in the ways that I've been talking about earlier in the show. And you said, I don't know, and I don't know if you heard that part of the show where I said...
Yeah, I think I heard that real quick because I had to go and answer the door, and I heard that you're not supposed to say I don't know anymore.
Yeah, and again, you can't fake it, so it would be really about, I really do know. I know that I have all my answers, or all my answers are available.
No, yes and no. I mean, my conflict of interest here is that I'm a medium, but I've got all this stuff going on. I'm like, this is... Bizarre.
Well, it's safe to say that in your case that there is, I mean, your story is a perfect example of, we have our intentions, you know, our conscious, deliberate intentions, the secret, you know, the movie The Secret and all this about law of attraction and, you know, intend what you want and you'll have it. There's a lot of intending what you want and not getting it, and what causes that is there's a hidden intention. There's something that is not in your view, and I'm speaking to you now, there's something that's not in your view that until it is, you can't do anything about it. So it's running the show. You know, it's in the background creating this, your sickness. And so the task would be to get to the bottom of that and find, what is the source of this? What really is the source of this?
Mm-hmm.
And I know from here, listening to you just in these few minutes, that you haven't gotten to the source of it.
Yeah, I haven't what?
That you haven't gotten to the source of it.
No.
And that you're trying to manage it.
Well, I had a stroke at the beginning, and then after the stroke, everything else just, you know, it's just like one thing after another, and I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoever I was in a previous life, I must have been something else, because I'm seriously paying for it now. And I do so much for so many other people in this life. And it just, like a lot of people you hear, it's just not fair. because I do so much for so many others.
Well, consider that there, and you probably, maybe you have done this, but that all of your physical ailments or illnesses are an expression, you know, and that start by considering, well, this isn't a problem, this is a clue. I'm getting a clue about something, and what is it that I'm, what is the expression? What is it that I need to hear? So that would be a place to start.
Yeah.
Okay. And also knowing that there is a source and that you can get to the bottom of it and be free of it. Free of having to do this. And when it gives me great joy to when people come to me, and this is no comment on your situation by any means, but when people come and address something before it has taken root in the physical body, because there are so many things that if you let them go long enough, they can't help but express in that way, because the body, you know, the spirit, the soul, the being, the self, let's say, will just continue to knock on your door until you answer it, you know, and say, and keep trying to express what it wants you to get, to understand, to listen to, until it gets heard. And in your case, it's talking louder and louder and louder. So there's definitely something to get that that you haven't yet, and that will give you freedom from it.
Okay, can I get your website information,
sure,
please?
It's claritywork.com.
Okay.
No S at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
all
thanks,
right.
So
thank
much.
Thank you, Victor.
Thank you for coming.
All right.
Have a great day, madam. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, and again, the number here is 617-552-4686, 617-552-4686. All right, tell us again when and where the presentation is coming up at the Theosophical Society in Arlington.
Sure. Saturday, July 21st, a week from today at 10 a.m. And you would call or email me to register, to pre-register for that.
All right. And you can call up after the interview at 617-552-0590. Now, in the literature, you have a statement to consider the benefits of staying stuck. Let's address that.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, this is something that we would cover in the workshop next week, too. It's it's great. There are, well, I'm sure we've all had the experience of, I don't want to look there because if I look there, then I might have to do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, a specific example, I don't really want to say that it's right for me to leave my marriage, let's say, because then I have to, then what? You know, then I have to start a whole new life by myself, and what about my finances, and what about this, and what about that? So it's much easier to be confused, to say I don't know what to do about my marriage. And to actually, it can be easier to be miserable, you know, to be unhappy, than to make that leap. You know, even if one knows this is right for me at some fundamental level, I should do this. It's just too scary or too cumbersome or too, you know, stressful or whatever. So that's a benefit. You know, you avoid having to feel that and be scared and be vulnerable and be alone and be, you know, all of what you would be.
So, what enables one to take those steps to a more adventurous route? How do you begin with that?
Well, this is a question within your question, Victor, and it's so, you know, that there's no. This is why I don't really use the word problem, because there really is no right answer. There never is a right answer, I want to say. It's one of the... Oh, I have an article, by the way, 13 Ways to Be Clear Now, which people want to email me or phone me. I can send that out to you. It might be helpful. And one of the items on the list is... number 7 is stop waiting for the right answer. And so... When I say that it's not a problem... A person could just choose to, okay, I'm not willing to feel that. I'm not willing to be alone. I'm not willing to have that experience. So I am going to work with what I've got or make the best of what I've got. A lifetime on the grand scheme of things, I'm very clear, is a blink. You know, it's not, it's a blink. So it's not catastrophic to consider spending a life in that way. However, from where I sit, I have a passion for freedom. You know, I have a passion for joy and for love, which I consider to be the life force, to have its way in the world and to have its way with us. So my bias, I suppose, is that we all be free. You know, that we all... So let that stand, that we all be free. And so... Yes, maybe you're afraid to take the step. The question ultimately is, do I want to leave this life as full as I can possibly have lived it, you know, having lived it as full as I possibly can, or do I want to leave saying, well, I think I, you know, I could have lived it fuller, but I didn't. Oh, well, you know, that's really the question, is how do I want to leave this life?
Okay, once again, the number here is 617-552-4686, 617-552-4686, and we are discussing clarity workers and how to become clear with situations that you might have. And if you have a situation that you might want to present on the table here, do feel free to give a call. Catherine is more than willing to give you her insights, and we'll take this call now. Good morning, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. Whoops, they went away. And they went away. And the number here is 617-552-4686. 617-552-4686 is the number. And again, we are discussing clarity work with Catherine Deputat. Did I say that correctly?
Deputat.
Deputat, okay.
I could say something here about this dragonfly logo.
Oh, please, yeah. I love dragonflies.
Great. It's another example of my just listening. In fact, the name or word clarity work was resulted from my just listening. I did not create this. It was given to me, you know, mm-hmm. and in fact, when I do a session, I am clear. It's not being done by me. It's being done through me. And that's what I meant about I'm that sponge, the sponge topic when I was talking about being a sponge, that listening and following is what I took from Natalie Goldberg. And I do that not only as a writer and as a teacher of writing and so on, but also as a person living her life. And listening and following led me to clarity work. In fact, this is something that I should begin, it grew directly out of my work with writers initially. I thought, what is that and who am I and how am I qualified to do it? But ultimately, it is what I'm here to do. It's one of the things very clearly that I'm here to do. And same with the dragonfly and the symbolism of that, why it was so perfect to represent this is that people know from maybe the medicine cards that animal medicine for dragonfly indicates that things are not as they seem. It's the medicine of, it's about illusion. And so when I was saying about person comes to me and says, I'm stuck or I'm confused, I know that that's an illusion. It's really not true. It sure feels true. But underneath that is a perfectly clear, clean space. I think of it almost as, you know, a table that hasn't been dusted in years. There's a lot of dust there, but if you clear the dust away, there's a perfectly clear surface. And that, to me, is what the dragonfly speaks about. It's the illusion is that there is a problem or that there's a confusion. And the reality is that all is well underneath that, and we just find our way to it.
Hmm. All right. We have time to squeeze in maybe one more call here at 617-552-4686. 617-552-4686, and we are discussing clarity work with Catherine. And again, the number here is 617-552-4686. And what can... All right, we'll take this call. Good morning, you're on the air.
I guess I wanted to bring up again, you know, I think, you know, the idea that there are other forces at work that can contribute to illusion and, or I don't know, like about getting too many pieces of information thrown at you so that it becomes really difficult to get clear.
Absolutely. Do you want me to speak to that?
Sure, yeah.
So that's why I practice, is that, you know, in reality, everybody can do what I do with his or herself. You know, you don't need me. But yes, indeed, what you pointed to is so true, and that's why I do the work that I do, is that it can be very difficult to get to the bottom of something alone, partly because there are all these voices and all these competing messages, and also the blind spots, you know, the places that we just can't see into, and I'm included in that. You know, I have my blind spots too, as I spoke about earlier. So that's why, I mean, even to go to another person who's an exceptional listener doesn't have to be a clarity worker, but, you know, I have a very particular listening that accelerates this process, can be helpful, you know, to go to any other person and start talking, you know, and have them really listen and say, this is what I hear, can be helpful.
There's so many things that really are sort of, you know, beyond our control. And I think about, like, I had opportunities to get property when the market was low too, but I didn't take advantage of them, you know. And so, you know, if you know, I can look back and I can sort of say, okay, what's the bottom line thing? Why am I sabotaging myself? What, you know, I can sort of look and see that there must be some kind of fundamental thing in my background that said I'm not worthy or something like that.
Well, actually, I
a wonderful idea. Thank you.
Yeah.
I did work with a client a couple of years ago who had a situation, just the situation you're describing, and what we discovered was that person, one of those messages that got implanted and then started attracting proof of, which started attracting proof, was I can't do anything right. Yeah. And consider walking through your life with the intention, I can't do anything right. You have to continue to fail. You have to continue to do the wrong thing. And so any decision you make is the wrong decision.
Yeah.
That's not freedom.
Yeah.
It's a great question. Thank you.
No.
Sounds like you're multitasking over there.
Yeah, I'm walking around. But yeah, I mean, I think that's the bottom line thing, you know, that probably still troubles me, is that, you know, that I just now I've had so many incredible losses that really do feel like, wow, I've made, you know, like I wasn't in touch enough with my inner self to make decisions that I can feel good about. So, you know, it's, and then this other circumstances sort of pushing me in times of stress, like when I look at that, it's...
Well, you're pointing to something that I think is important to include before we have to close the show, which is what you said about there are forces beyond our control. If I am that, you know, if I am not separate from all there is, everything is within our control.
Okay, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
All right, and one more time, where and when are you presenting at the Theosophical Society?
Next Saturday, a week from today, July 21st, 10 a.m., and there is still room in the workshop. Give a call or come visit the website. Catherine, K-A-T-H-R-Y-N, at claritywork.com if you'd like to email me. And hope to see you there.
And for those of you now just now thinking of a question to ask, or you're too darn shy to call up on live radio, you can talk to Catherine off the air at 617-552-0590. 617-552-0590. And if you get an answering machine or a message on that, just hang up, dial it up again. That means that she's on the line. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Catherine.
Victor. It's been great.
All right. Join me again 7 a.m. or thereabouts for Lucid Sounds, music in the ambient, new age, Native American, and whatever vein. And quarter 10, the astrology report comes your way. And 10 to 11, expanding awareness comes your way. Once again, the number for Catherine is 617-552-0590. And keep her busy. She's gracious enough to answer your concerns. And we are waiting to make sounds of dissent, which will be served up in no time at all. Going to hear a little more from this recording from 2, T-U-U.